Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Shemir Halashon learning. We are learning, as always, the Zecher and the Lui Nishmas, Tzvi Gershon Ben Yoav Lechana Alav Hashem, Neshama Shel Hava Zechus Aliyah Letova and Zechir Letova, and the merit of our Avodas Hashem and this Inyan, and these Divrei Torah, as well as Zechus Aliyah Neshama and Zechir Letova for Zev Wolf Ben Yeshaya Alav Hashem, Neshama Shel Osav and Aliyah, the merit of these Divrei Torah. And with your permission, Zechus Refuah Shleima for Bracha Avigal Bas Rachel Gitta. I recently checked with a family member of hers, and she is definitely still in need of Racham Yishamayim. So we'll recite the Tefillah Al Hadibur. Yibana Sha Olam Yiratzum Ufanechel Racham Vechanan. Shetizek Keini Hayum Vechol Yom Lishmar Pi Ulishani Milashin Har Rechilis. Azar Medaber Afilash Yachi. Vekol Shekein Akaisa O Chelik Mehem. Vekol Shekein Misraim Amidosur Shal Kolash Baruchu. Azar Medaber Divrei Sheker Chanufa Mechol Kas Kas Gaiva. Ona Astvarim Albanis Padim. Beitzanus v'chal dibar aser v'zakenim shal lidabar kim dabar hatzari chalane li'inyanei gufi v'nafshi yukal ma'asai v'diburai l'shem shamayim amen v'amen. An extremely interesting class prepared, that I prepared this year. But I just want to start off very, very interestingly. Someone who's part of the Shir Chabura emailed me something interesting, which I thought was relevant to share. And it shows you how far and how careful we have to be with the Inyan Shemir Salashin. It's very short. It's not like the last email where we consulted with Rabbi Daniel C. Feldman. And that was more extensive. This is pretty short, but I thought that it was very, very interesting. So somebody who's part of the Shir group emailed me. And she wrote, this is a couple of weeks ago, and I saved it because I thought it was... very relevant. The class has made me so sensitive to the way that I speak, Baruch Hashem. But this morning, she said, I think I've reached new levels. This was July 5th, Wednesday, July 5th. So just about 10, a little over 10 days ago. This class has made me so sensitive to the way I speak, Baruch Hashem. But this morning, I think I've reached new levels. I am proofreading a children's book for a friend. And it seems to me that one of the characters is speaking Lashon Hara, but one of the other characters. And she wrote, Micha, I think I might have lost my mind on this one. In other words, she's so sensitive that she's reading a children's book, proofreading, and she thinks like, oh my gosh, a character is speaking Lashon Hara. But then she followed up, you are not going to believe this, but before I could even fully articulate my problem with the passage in the book, my friend told me that they consulted with Das Torah on this point, and they changed the character from a small child to a baby so the anecdote could be included. So look at this. I'm learning she's become so sensitive that she picked up, without realizing it was actually a Shaila, she picked up on a passage in a children's book that to her seemed like it was Lashon Hara. She thought she was like, you know, being so far off and so extreme, but the mindset, it was Lashon Hara. They consulted with a Rav, and they change the character from a small child to a baby so the anecdote could still be included. For example, there are different halachos based on different age. For example, this is not from the book, but she wrote, you can announce that a baby smells, and that's not Lashon Hara, but you cannot say that about an older child or an adult. So I just thought it was so interesting how this learning has made her so sensitive to these inyanim, that when she was proofreading a children's book, she actually thought this might be Lashon Hara. Then she thought to herself, I'm going crazy, this is a children's book. And her friend followed up and told her that in fact it was, and one of the characters needed to be changed so the vignette could be included and it would not be considered Lashon Hara. I thought that was extremely, extremely interesting, and I thank you for sharing. Okay, we're going to be learning something extremely interesting today. This is a brand new shir. Something occurred to me. I had a ha'ara in Parshas Pinchas, and I saved it about Joy Mechumish, which is not here, is a little sticky, and it says Shmir Salashon. So something occurred to me in Parshas Pinchas, a ha'ara, and an insight that never occurred to me before. And I guess also I think because we are, well, first of all, because Hashem put it into my head, but also because we are so sensitive to what we speak about and how we say. So I'm going to be screen sharing. We're going to be looking at three different passages in Chumash. I'm going to be screen sharing. One second. Where is it? Here. Okay, so could you see I'm in Bamidbar Parachav Lav? Yes, you could? Okay, thank you so much. So this is Parshas Pinchas. A couple of weeks ago, Parshas Pinchas is the first parsha that is named during the time period of the 3 weeks, which means that there are connections between these Inyanim and Eretz Yisrael and Galus. So in Parshas Pinchas, we have the lineage of the families. An account is taken, and the families of Kal Yisrael are delineated. They have to know how to apportion the land. So, okay, after the plague that killed 24,000 because of the Maisa, Zimri, and Cosby, So Hashem said to Moshe and Elazar ben Aaron a Kohen, saying, so take a census of the entire assembly of Israel from the age of 20 and up, by the father's household, anyone who goes out to the army. This is the final census because they're going into Eretz Yisrael. How many do we have? How should we divide the land amongst the families? Who is going to war? Moshe and Elazar spoke with them in the plains of Moab by Yarden Urecho, saying, from the age of 20 and up, like Hashem commanded Moshe. Okay. Reuven, why would we start with Reuven? Because he's the Bechar of Israel. Reuven, Bechar Yisrael. So who are the children of Reuven? The children of Reuven are Chanoch, Palu, and Chetron, and Carmi. These are the four families of Reuven. Okay. And now we know how many there are in Reuven. 43,700, no, I just want to get it right, yeah, 43,730, correct. Now, so there is the family of Chanoch, the family of Palu, the family of Chetzron, and the family of Carmi. And then the Pasuk tells us, we're in the beginning of Parachot Vava B'Mirbar, Ubnei Palu Aliyev. So you have Reuven. Reuven has Palu, he has Aliyev. Aliyev has Dasan and Aviram. So there are four generations from Reuven. Reuven, Palu, Aliyev, Dasan and Aviram. Ubnei Aliyev Nemuel, V'Dasan V'Aviram. These are the famous Dasan Aviram. That what? Who Dasan V'Aviram? These are Dasan V'Aviram. Kiriya Ha'ida, men of renown in the assembly, not in a positive way, Asher Hitzu Al Moshe V'Aron Ba'adas Korach V'Hatzosem Al Hashem. Oh, who were summoned by the assembly, who incited against Moshe and Aaron amongst the assembly of Korach, when they incited against Hashem. So just let's see. Yeah, so Rashi tells us, I want to quote Rashi here. Actually, I'll put you at the top of the screen. My shear notes just fell on the floor. One second. Okay, sorry. Okay, I want to put Rashi on the screen for you. Okay, so Rashi says, Asher Hitzu Es Yisrael Moshe, they incited B'nai Yisrael against Moshe, Pahatzotzam Es Ha'am Al Hashem, when they incited the nation against Hashem. And Rashi says, Hisiu Es Yisrael Lariv Al Moshe, and they incited Israel to fight against Moshe. And this means, Lashon Hif'ilu, means they caused others to act. So Dasan and Aviram incited the B'nai Yisrael against Moshe and against Hashem, Kavi Acha. Now what happened to them? They were part of the Mechlokas of Korach. They incited the B'nai Yisrael against God, so to speak, and against Moshe. And what was their punishment? Vatiftach ha'aretz es piha. The ground opens its mouth. Vativla osam, and it swallowed them. Ve'es korach and korach b'mos ha'eda, with the death of the assembly. Ba'achal ha'ish es chamishim u'masayim ish v'yu l'nes. When the fire consumed the 250 men, and they were for a sign. What is v'yu l'nes? So Rashi says, lo'os v'lizikaron. They were a sign and a remembrance that no stranger should come and contest against the kahuna, says Rashi. L'manasher lo yakuv ishzar, no stranger may come, l'chalok od alakundra, to contest against the kahuna. So when I was learning this with Parshas Pinchas for this first time this year, this never struck me before, and the mamash never occurred to me before. Why are Dasan and Aviram swallowed up by the earth along with Korach and his family? There were two distinct punishments to those who contested against the kohuna, those who joined this fight. It's in Bamidbar Perek Tazrayin, and we're going there shortly. There was Korach. Korach is jealous of Moshe, the chief rabbi, like the Gemara calls him, Kahana, the Gemara, his wife, Melech. His wife says to him, Moshe made himself Melech. He made his brother Aaron the Kahana Rabbah. So he's jealous of Moshe's first cousin. He's jealous of Aaron, his first cousin. He's also jealous of the appointment of Eltzophan ben Uziel, his youngest cousin, from the youngest uncle, who is the prince of the tribe. So Korach feels, I should be in a power of Gedula. Now, he has people who join his fight against Moshe and Aaron. Dasan and Aviram, they're the famous rabble rousers. They're always looking for a fight. And 250 other men. So the question is, there was two distinct punishments. The 250 men were burned in a fire. And Korach went down with his family to the ground. The ground opened up its mouth and swallowed them. But why were Dasan and Aviram, and it only struck me for the first time this year when I was learning Parshas Pinchas, why were Dasan, which again is the first parsha, first surge in 3 weeks, Pinchas, so it was last week, right? Yeah, this past Shabbos was Matos Masai. So the Shabbos before, so this is our first Shmiras Halashen class since I learned these psukim, and then based on this I prepared a new shiur. Why were Dashan and Aviram swallowed up by the earth? And the Lashon is very telling. Latiftacha aretz espiha vativlozer. It doesn't say they went down to the ground. The Lashon of the pasuk is very startling. And the earth opened up its mouth. Doesn't say they went down to the ground. It's specifically a reference to this idea of opening of a mouth. Vatiftach es piha. She opened her mouth. So now let us go to Bamidbar, Parak Tas Zayin, where this machokas occurs. And let's look quickly. Oh, I have to take you to Bamidbar Tas Zayin. So Korach, as we said, is jealous of Aaron and Moshe, and also from Ben Azir. Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kahas ben Levi, v'dasan v'aviram, b'nei Eliyav, v'on ben Pelz b'nei Reuven. On ben Pelz is his own story, let's forget about him for now. He ultimately does not join the battle. So Korach takes, it means takes with words, he convinces with words, the son of Yitzhar, Kahas, the son of Levi, and dasan and aviram b'nei Eliyav, which we just saw their lineage. Reuven, Falu, Eliyav, dasan and aviram. Okay. So they got up before Moshe and the men of Israel, and they also take 250 other men of renown, and they join in great strength against Moshe and Aaron. Let us go to what happens when the punishment happens. We're skipping the whole machokas. Okay? They're contesting. They try and win. Of course, they're not going to win. What should we do? So I just need to turn my chumash actually to Perek Tazayin. So what happens? Here we go. Pasuchav Gimel. I want to tell you also some of the Rashis. Parak Tas Zayin Pasuch of Gimel. And Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the assembly and say, Hey, alu misavim the Mishkan Korach Dasan Vavirim. Warn the Bnei Yisrael that they should move away from around the tent of Korach and Dasan and Aviram. So the Bnei Yisrael are warned that they have to move away from the environment of Korach, Dasan, and Aviram. Vayakam Moshe, Vayeich al Dasan v'Aviram. Moshe gets up and he goes to Dasan and Aviram. And who comes after him? The Ziknei Yisrael. Why does he go to Dasan and Aviram? So Rashi says, Kesavir shayisu lo panim v'lo asu. He was certain, but by this point in the Machlokas, Dasan and Aviram would accord him honor. They would give him respect. They would stand up for him. They would be willing to negotiate. Shayisu lo panim, they would turn their face towards him. We're willing to talk to you. But that did not happen. What's interesting is that when he gets up and he goes to Dasan and Aviram. It doesn't even say he goes up to Korach. He goes to Dasan and Aviram. He thought that there was a chance with Dasan and Aviram to negotiate with them. He believed. And the article footnote says, our verse says Moshe went to Dasan and Aviram. But the following verse says that Moshe speaks to the entire assembly. One pasuk says he gets up and he goes to Dasan and Aviram and does the Kanim go after him. The very next pasuk says, and he speaks to the entire assembly. Rashi's explaining, Moshe thought he could quell the dispute by going personally to Dasan and Aviram. He expected them to rise in his honor and show they respected him and would be able to negotiate. Once Moshe saw Dasan and Aviram did not treat him with respect, he realized there was nothing to say to them, and therefore he addresses the rest of the congregation. So Moshe gets up and he tries to go to Dasan and Aviram. He is certain that they would show him their face, meaning they would give respect to him, but they didn't do so. Therefore, because there was nothing to discuss with them, Moshe spoke to the entire assembly and he said, Moshe tells the Bnei Yisrael, separate yourself from the tent of these wicked people. Don't touch anything that is theirs. You do not want to be stricken. You don't want to be destroyed because of their sins. Separate from all of them. You don't want to be affected because of their sins. So they got themselves away from the dwelling of Korach, Dasan, and Aviram from all around, and Dasan and Aviram went up standing erect to the entrance of their tent, and their wives, and their children, and their little babies. And Rashi says, Yatsu nitzavim, bekoma zekufa, lecharev legadev. They went with a defiant bearing to blaspheme and to insult and to vilify. So Korach and Dasan and Aviram go out with this erect posture because they are ready for a total battle, so to speak, against Moshe and Kaviyachal, against the Kosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean? And their children and their sons and their little babies. So Rashi says, look how terrible is Machokas. The Beis Din shall matter, the Beis Din down here, does not punish until a person shows a sign of puberty, meaning until a person is mature, they're not responsible for their sins. But down in this situation, who was lost? Af Yonke Shadayim, even the suckling babes at the breast were lost. This is the power of Machlokas, that it takes down everything and everyone who is involved. Even the innocent babies were swept down, went down into the ground. And Moshe said, "With this you will know that Hashem sent me," Rashi says, "Shasisi al pi adibra. Everything I did was according to what Hashem commanded me to do. I gave Aaron the Kohuna Gadola, the high priesthood. I made his children the Sagan Kohuna, the regular priest, if you will. And I made Elzaphan the Nasi of the family of Kahas. It was all by the appointment of Hashem. I did not do anything on my own," says Moshe. And Moshe says, "Like this you will know that Hashem sent me." Whoops. Yeah. "And it's not from my own heart. If these people die a regular death, then Hashem did not send me. But if Hashem creates a new creation, upatitza ha'adama es piha, and the ground opens her mouth," once again, this illusion, this imagery, not imagery, this happening of the mouth opening, "and swallows them and everything that is to them, and they will go down alive, you will know that these men contested against Hashem." And it was when Moshe finished speaking these words, "Vatibaka ha'adama asher tachtayim," the ground starts to split open under, "vatiftach ha'aretz etz piha," and the ground opened its mouth. And that's exactly the lashon we saw in Parshas Pinchas. In Parshas Pinchas, when we're told about Dasan Vaviram, it says, listen, where is it? The pasuk says, "By Dasan Vaviram, vatiftach haaretz es piha vativla osa." The pasuk in Bamidbar Chaf Vav Parshas Pinchas that we read the seder before last, "Vatiftach haaretz es piha vativla osa." And the land, the ground opened its mouth and swallowed them. And that's what you see here by the time of the Maisa. "Vatiftach haaretz es piha vativla osa v'esvatayim v'eskol ha'adam asher lekorach v'eskol rechush. The ground opens its mouth," this imagery, this idea, this wording, this verbiage, once again, of a mouth opening, "and swallows them and their houses, and every person that is to Korach," meaning everyone in the assembly, his whole family, "cut all of their possessions, and they go down, and everything with them, alive, down to the Sha'al, and the ground closes over them, and they are lost from the assembly, and all of Israel runs away from the voice." What voice? Rashi says, "Bishvil kol hayotze al biliyasan." There was a tremendous shaking of the ground. There was a tremendous roar, the thunder of the ground itself, when they were swallowed up. And they said, "Lest the ground swallow us up as well." The eish yatzam eish Hashem v'tochal eish hachamishim m'sayim ish makri v'haktoros. And a fire came down from before Hashem, and it consumed the 250 men who joined the assembly. What's very, very interesting is that from the psukim in Bamidbar and Korach, when it actually happens, you don't actually know explicitly what happened to Dasan and Aviram. It's not very explicit. In fact, in Parshas Korach, it doesn't say explicitly that Dasan and Aviram were swallowed. We know they're part of the Mechlokas. We know that Gal the Charefu the Gadev to blaspheme and vilify, to insult and have Mechlokas against Hashem. We know everyone's separated from them, but the Pasuk doesn't even make it seem like it's them. The ground opened its mouth and swallowed them and their houses and every person that is to Korach and all the possessions. But in Parshas Pinchas, in Parak Chavav, we are told very explicitly, which we saw on the screen before, that Dashan and Aviram were the men who argued against Moshe, who incited the people against Moshe and Aaron. Vatiftach haaretz es piha vativla osa v'es korach b'moshe eda. So in Pinchas, we're told very explicitly who was swallowed up by the earth, Dasan and Aviram. And once again, the same lashon is, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them and Korach. So it's very clear that what happened to Dasan and Aviram is that they were swallowed by the ground opening its mouth. So I had a question this year when I was learning Parshas Pinchas, and my question was, why were they not consumed in the fire along with the 250 men? I understand Korach needed to be punished. It was his fight. So give him a unique death. He should go down into the ground. And Dasan and Aviram should die in the fire with the 250 men. They were the extras who joined. It was Korach's Machlokas. Korach Machlokas Shil Hashem Shamayim Sofalis Kem. V'she'el Shom Shamayim Ein Sofalis Kem. Ezi Machlokas Shil Hashem Shamayim. Machlokas Hil V'Shamay. Ezi Machlokas Shein Hashem Shamayim. Korach V'Kol Dasan. It's called after Korach. It's called the Machlokas of Korach. It's not called the Machlokas of Dasan and Aviram. So Korach should go down to the ground and everyone else should be punished in a fire. But interestingly, Dasan and Aviram are punished with Vatiftach Ha'aretz Es Piha. The ground opened its mouth and swallowed them. That includes Das and Aviram, and we know it explicitly. We don't have to infer from Korach, because in Parshas Pinchas, we are told explicitly that Das and Aviram are swallowed up by the ground. So now we have a kasha. The kasha is, why were they punished in this fashion instead of being punished in the fire? So, something I never thought of before, Mamish is brand new here. Baruch Pokeach Ivrim, thank you Hashem. It's just a reminder of how much, I stress it all the time, how much there is in Chumash, how much there is in Torah hidden beneath the surface, and no matter how many times you learn something, there are always new insights you may not realize, you may not have thought of, that are hiding right there, waiting to be uncovered and waiting to be discovered. And that's why I stress this all the time. Torah is not something that you could say, I learned and I'm finished. It's not like a book, you know. You take a book, I don't know, at a library, you read a book, you finish the book. It's very nice. Maybe you really enjoyed it, so in a couple of years you want to read it again because, I don't know, you have some extra time. But it's not something you could study and restudy. There's no hidden messages. An author writes a book. It's very nice. It could be a brilliant author. They wrote the book. When it comes to learning the Ribbono Shel Olam's Torah, when we talk about Shivim Panim LaTorah and Eilu Le'ilu Divrei Elokim Chaimim, Ervin 13b, when we talk about all the different levels and interpretations and Rimazim and so the Sotar, there's just so much there that sometimes we just don't see it until Hashem gives us the ability to be, he gives us the gift of Pokeach Ivrim and realize something we never realized before, no matter how many times you read the Psukim. So I think that that's also just very important for us to remember. In order to answer our question, the answer to our question lies all the way back in the beginning of Moshe's career. And I mean really in the beginning of Moshe's career. Okay, so we have now established, we looked at Parshas Pinchas, Parak Chav Vav. The family of Reuven includes, it's four generations from Reuven, Dasan and Aviram, so Reuven was their great-grandfather. And they were swallowed up by the earth in the Machlokas of Korach because they incited the people against Hashem. Then we went to Parshas Korach itself, Parak Tas Zayin, where we saw the effects of the Machlokas and the punishment. Everyone had to separate from around the tent of Korach, Dasan, and Aviram. And Moshe said, if I made this up, they'll die a regular death. If I did everything from Hashem, a new creation will happen. The ground opens its mouth. And it swallows Korach, Dasan, and Aviram, and even the young Keshadayim, the wives, the children, even the suckling babes, who were innocent babies, were swallowed up by the Parah Machlokas. And our question is, why weren't they killed with the 250 men, if this was Korach's Machlokas, okay? Yes, it for sure takes on a new meaning, Nancy. When you read it in Lashon HaKodesh, it is a completely different experience. We translate because we have to, but it's a completely different experience. I'm in the middle of Shir.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's okay. Why? I don't have anything to tell you.
Like, I know. Why not till 6 o'clock?
Because one time, one of the examiners gave the person the results, and the person failed. So now they don't give it to
me. When you go to driving school, you mean?
No. The DMV.
Oh, they changed the rules.
The DMVs.
Oh, wow. Could I just say what we're talking about? My son just came back from his driving test. He went with the driving school, but he doesn't have results. He said, I don't get the results till 6 o'clock. It was very strange. Our first two kids didn't have that. So I didn't understand why. So he told me that one time someone failed. They've changed the rules since my other two kids did it. They changed the rules. Someone once failed, and when they told the guy he failed, he became violent. It's not funny. And punched someone in the face. So therefore, they now do not give the results till 6 o'clock at night. I guess
they give you a website.
Oh, so they give you what? What is this?
Oh,
you can, your test results will be posted on the website after 6 p.m. on the day of your test. That's, oh, because some of it came violent when he found out he failed. By the way, Abba Google, there 55% of people fail the first time. So some became violent, and therefore, someone became violent, and therefore they've changed it. I guess that's once they stopped doing testing, 6 p.m.?
Because that's when they go home, the employees.
That's when they go home. Whoa.
But he knew all the employees there, which was really good. They were all like saying hi to him and whatever and joking with him. And he said to me, he said, you saw that? And I said, yeah. And he said, it's good. Like,
okay, say a tefillah for my son. And everyone should just be safe.
I'm going to get ready for work.
Yeah, okay, fine. And take something to eat. Okay, sorry. I try not to interrupt. But, you know, it's a big thing when a kid's come home from his driving test. And I couldn't understand why it wasn't until 6 o'clock. My first two kids got the results right away. Wow. Okay, fine. So the answer to our question now lies all the way back when we meet Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, I really love this year. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Pokeach Ivrim. Okay, Moshe's a baby in the basket. That's Perek Beis, Pesukim Aleph through Yod. God, fine. That's the first thing we know about Moshe when he grows up and he's no longer a baby in a basket. Okay? I just want to see which Rashi is. I want to tell you, okay, Vayhibu Yami Mahim Vayigda Moshe. This is right after he's weaned. Bas Parah takes him. He's weaned from his mother. He comes to Bas Parah. Minamai Mishisiyu. I drew him from the water. What's the first thing we know about Moshe? Vayhibu Yami Mahim. It was in those days. Vayigda Moshe. Moshe grew up. He goes out to his brothers to see their suffering. And he sees an Egyptian taskmaster striking a Hebrew from his brothers. We're not going to do all the Madrashim and all the Drash. Pshat. He sees an Egyptian taking advantage and beating an Israelite slave. He turns this way and that way. He sees that there's no person, and he hides he hits the Egyptian, and he smote the Egyptian, and he hides him in the sand. And he goes out, that's his first experience. The first day he leaves the palace, he goes out, he sees an Egyptian beating an Israelite, and he kills him, and he hides him in the sand. And he goes out on the second day. And he sees two Hebrews fighting. Ayomer la Rasha, and he says to the wicked, Lama sakere echo, why do you strike your fellow? Ah, who did he see fighting? Zukt Rashi, Dasan va Aviram. Ah, yes. Change. Dasan va Aviram. Who does he see fighting? Dasan and Aviram. Haim shaho siru minaman. Ah, he sees Dasan and Aviram, the same Dasan and Aviram who we're speaking about, who end their career, who end their lives by going down when the ground opens its mouth. So this is 40 years before the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, 40 years before Pashas Pinchas, 41. He sees 41. Dasan, no, what am I talking about? 40 is his career. Moshe is 20 years old at this age. Okay, Dasan and Aviram are fighting. What are they doing? Nitzim Mirivim, they're quarreling. And he says to the wicked one, why do you strike your fellow? Says Rashi, Afo Pishaloiku, Nikra Rasha Baramasyad. He hadn't hit his friend yet, but he lifted his hand. So he's called wicked because he lifted his hand. Lamasa Kere Eshcha Rasha Kemosha. A wicked person like you. So he goes on the second day. He sees two Hebrews fighting, and he says to the wicked one, Lamasa Kere Eshcha, why are you wicked? Because you lifted your hand to hit him. Even the lifting of the hand to hit somebody is called wicked. Why do you hit your friend, your fellow, Rasha Kemoscha? You're both Rasharim. You're both wicked people. And what do they say when Moshe sees them fighting? He tries to break up the fight. And he says to the wicked person, why are you hitting your fellow? We don't have enough enemies. It's not enough that the Egyptians are hitting us. We need to be hitting each other. Remember, these are great-grandsons of Reuven. Vayomer, mi shamcha li'ish sar v'shofet aleinu. Who made you in charge of us? Who made you a person? Who made you an officer? Who made you a judge over us? According to the Rambad, Moshe is 20 years old at this time. So, who made you a man? You're only 20 years old. What are you telling us to do? Sar v'shofet, you think you're a ruler, you think you're an officer. Halahargeni ata omer kasher ragta samitzri. Do you kill us, you say? Do you want to kill us, you say? Like you killed the Egyptians? What does it mean, do you want to kill us, you say? Mikan anu lemeidim sharga b'shema meforash. Moshe, how did he kill the Egyptian the first day? With speech. Halargeni ata omer. Are you going to kill us through speech like you killed the Egyptian yesterday? You pronounced the divine ineffable name. You killed the Egyptian. Is that how you're going to kill us? Vayira Moshe was afraid. Vayomer achein noda hadavar. Moshe was afraid. He says, behold, the matter is known. Why is Moshe afraid? So first, Rashi says the pshat. He's afraid because he's afraid of Dasan and Aviram in this situation. However, then Rashi says, yeah, I want to tell you these Rashis. The Medrash teaches da'aglo. He was very worried. Al shara b'Yisrael rasha'im de'la torin. He saw evil men in Israel who were informers. Amar, and therefore he said, May ato shama enam ru'uin lihiga'al. He sees that there are informers in Israel. He says, maybe now I realize they are not worthy of being redeemed. Moshe did not understand why Klai Yisrael deserved this terrible punishment of Galus. And when he sees that there are informers in Israel, he says, now I understand why they're not worthy of redemption. Achein no dahav davar. Moshe said, behold, the matter is known. Either the pshat is like it sounds, the matter is known that I killed the Egyptian yesterday, or the Medrash, no dali, hadavresh isi tameh alav. The matter that I was bewildered about, said Moshe, is known to me. Ma chatu Yisrael mikol shivim umos lios nirdim ba'avodas parach. I always wondered, said Moshe, what sin did Israel do from all the nations of the world that they are afflicted with back-breaking labor. Aval roa ani shehem ruim lekach. But now I see they are worthy of this. Okay, the first day he goes out, he sees an Egyptian beating an Israelite. He kills the Egyptian. We know that he kills him by pronouncing the Shema Mephorosh, the ineffable divine name. He says the name, he kills the Egyptian, he hides him in the sand. That's the first day of Moshe's career. The second day he goes out and he sees two Hebrews fighting. And one of them has his hand raised to hit his fellow. And he says, why are you hitting your fellow? You are a Rasha and he's a Rasha. Don't stop fighting. Just Haram as Yad, someone who raises his hand to hit another Jew, is already considered a Rasha. So these two Hebrews, who are Dasan and Aviram, answer him back and say, are you going to kill us through speech? To kill us, will you say, like you killed the Egyptian? And Moshe realizes because of this, he's very afraid. And he says the matter is known. What matter is known? So either it's known that I killed an Egyptian, or, much more powerful, the matter that I've been wondering about is explained to me. It's clear to me. I always wondered, what sin did Israel do from all the 70 nations of the world that they are worthy of being afflicted by back-breaking labor? Avodas Perach, Aro'a Ani Shem Ruim Lekach. Now I see that they are worthy of this. And what's the very next pasuk? Why are they worthy of this? Because there are informers amongst them. Who informed on who? Ayishma Paro Sadavar Hazeh. Paro heard this matter. Ayivakesh Laharogas Moshe. Paro heard that Moshe killed an Egyptian. And he sought to kill Moshe. Paro wanted to kill Moshe. Moshe had to run away from before Paro, and he dwells in the land of Midian, and he dwells by the well. On this pasuk, by the way, the Ramban says there's a gap of 60 years. According to the Ramban, Moshe ran away when he was 20, and Hashem appears to him by the burning bush when he is 80. Okay, fine. So what happens? Paro hears. How did Paro hear that Moshe killed an Egyptian? So according to Shmos Rabbah, which is what Rashi's basing this on, Heim Hilshinu Alav, from the word Lashon. Lashon, tongue. Heim Hilshinu Alav. Dashan and Aviram informed against him. Dashan and Aviram not only spoke Lashon Hara, Lashon Hara could be true facts, but they were Moshim. They gave Moshe over to the foreign government. Moshe was protecting an Israelite from an Egyptian taskmaster, and it was Dashan and Aviram who went and they informed upon Moshe. They told Paro that Moshe was the one who did this, and therefore Moshe wanted to kill him. Vayishma Paro. And then Rashi says, Vayivakesh laharogas Moshe, Masho la kus dinar lahargo, v'lo shalta b'achar. A big nace was done. Moshe was given over to the executioner to be killed by Paro, and the sword, his neck turned to marble, and the sword couldn't kill him, and therefore he had to run away to the land of Midian. Okay, so what do we see about Dashan and Aviram? What we see about Dashan and Aviram is that they spoke Lashon Hara, they were Moshim, they used their power of tongue to inform against Moshe. That's the first interaction that Moshe has with Dashan and Aviram. I mean, it's the first time he goes out of the palace to see what's happening with his brothers. The first interaction he has with them is when they use their negative speech, they use their tongue, Heim Hil Shinu Alav, Rashi's quoting Medrash Rabbah, they use their tongue to inform against him. So now we could answer our question, why did Dashan and Aviram deserve to be swallowed up by the earth? And the Lashon is very careful and exacting. Vatiftach ha'aretz es piha. The ground opened her mouth. And in fact, the Parshas Pinchas, it barely even mentions Korach, a little bit, but it seems to be that the primary punishment of the ground opening its mouth was against Dashan and Aviram. It's Mida keneged Mida. But Mida she'adam moded, moded din lo. And the way in which a person measures or treats others, so he will be treated. The first thing we know about Moshe, Dashan, and Aviram is that after Moshe defended an Israelite by killing an Egyptian taskmaster who was beating him, Dashan and Aviram informed against him. To who? Paro. Hilshinu alav. They used the koach of speech to speak about him negatively. The last interaction we have between Dashan and Aviram and Moshe Rabbeinu, and even in that situation we saw, he goes out to try and speak to them. He goes out to try and negotiate with them. He goes out to try and calm them down. When it is not successful, Vativtach ha'aretz es piha. Vativ lo'osam. Why? Why? Moshe hides the Egyptian we killed in the sand, in the ground. They use their koach of speech to tell on Moshe to run away. He's a fugitive for 60 years. There's an FBI poster that says, wanted. Moshe killed somebody and hit him in the ground in defense of Am Yisrael. These two rabble-rousers, Dathan and Aviram, who are constantly causing trouble, told Paro that Moshe killed an Egyptian and hid him in the ground. And therefore, how do they meet their demise? And even to them, Moshe is trying to make peace by Mechilkas Korach. They meet their demise in the most appropriate fashion, most appropriate possible fashion. Atiftach ha'aretz. As piha ativla osam, because they open their mouths to speak negatively about Moshe and Klal Yisrael, ultimately the ground opened its mouth to swallow them. And it's very, very clear that Medrash Rabba says that Moshe says, Achein noda hadavar. It's unbelievably powerful. The Medrash is saying, as quoted by Rashi, that the whole cause of galus, the whole cause of the galus, the whole cause of the exile, the reason that Israel is worthy of this avodas perach, is because of people like this. People like what? People who tell on each other, people who inform on each other, people who speak lashon hara. I was thinking to myself further. So now we've answered our question. It's clear how we answered the question, yes? Okay, they should just be swallowed up in the fire. No, but b'midah adam moded, moded no. Because Hashem punishes and rewards midah k'neged midah, this is the most appropriate punishment. We meet them in the beginning, when we first meet them, as two people who used hilshinu alav. They open their mouth to bring destruction. Ultimately, the mouth of the earth would open up to destroy them. There could be no more poetic justice and befitting punishment than this one for Dathan and Aviram. I was also thinking further. Very, very interesting. I was thinking further. Rashi doesn't say, well, quoting the Medrash, Ma chatu Yisro, you can see it on the screen, still, Mikol Shivim Umos, Lios Nirdim Bavodas Perach. That's what Lashon Rashi. Hatzlacha Rabba. Have a great day.
You too.
1 second. Yoratan. Rashi does not say, Ma chatu Yisrael mikol shivim umos lios begalos. Ma chatu Yisrael mikol shivim umos lios be'aretz lo lahem. Ma chatu Yisrael mikol shivim umos lios, I don't know. Why? What did Israel sin from all the 70 nations that they should be in exile? Why did Israel sin from all the 70 nations? They should be in a land not theirs. We know when we learn Rashi, just like when we learn Chumash, when we learn Tarsha Baal Peh, we have to be very medactic when it comes to the Lashon. That's the godless of Rashi. The first grader could learn it, the Gadol Dar could learn it, and we're hopefully somewhere in between those two opposites. Those two ends of a spectrum. I shouldn't say opposites. Those two ends of a spectrum. Rashi specifically says, quoting the Medrash, look at this. Look how exacting you have to be. Ma chatu Yisrael mikol shivim umos lios nirdim ba'avodas Perach. Now we know Perach, Chazal Tala stands for Perach, a soft mouth. Perach, a soft mouth. What did Israel sin from all the 70 nations, excuse me, to be near dim? I just want to see what Rashi, how Art School translates were near dim. Bye, sweetie. Have a great day. Yeah.
Ma.
Tyrannized. Near dim, Art School translates is tyrannized. Tyranny, tyrannized. Ba'avodas perach. So this is a further allusion to the sin that leads to galus. When we talk with a perach, when our mouths are soft, meaning we let our mouths run, we don't control, we don't harshly close or control our mouths. When we have a perach, we will be enslaved with avodas perach. Once again, it's a midah k'neged midah. Moshe is quoting Medrash Rabba saying, why did Israel sin from all the 70 nations to be tyrannized with avodas perach? What's the answer? It doesn't say to be tyrannized with galus. It doesn't say it's to suffer in a land that's not there, specifically avodas perach, because when we have a perach like Dathan and Aviram did, and we take our words so casually, when we are so not careful with how we speak, when we think of nothing of slandering another Jew, when we think of nothing of informing upon another Jew to the government, Rahman Atzlan, when our mouth is a perach, a soft mouth, that is not in, we are not in control, but our mouths are in control of us, then the midah k'neged midah is, we will be enslaved with avodas perach. And by the way, if it's not obvious, by the way, this is so relevant for the time period of the 3 weeks. We are a day and a half away from Rosh Chodesh Av, which is tomorrow evening, Yom Shlishi Be'erev, Yom Avi'i. And I've said it 1,000 times, but the Gemara New Matash Amud Beis tells us very, very clearly that the first temple was destroyed because of Charvot Shebelashonam, spears or swords of the tongue. And the second temple was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, baseless hatred, which the Chavetz Chaim, which I'm not going to have time to quote today, but I did prepare, which the Chavetz Chaim in his Sefer Chavetz Chaim in the Hakdama. Maybe I'll just tell you that line. Yes. The Chavetz Chaim himself says, Ach lebesof yimei bayis sheni gavra sinas chinam v'lashon hara benidu. This is the Sefer Chavetz Chaim, his Hakdama. Ach lebesof yimei bayis sheni gavra sinas chinam v'lashon hara benidu. At the end of the days of the Second Temple period, the sin of baseless hatred and slanderous speech had an upper hand amongst our people. Ba'avanosenu harabim, because of our many sins, uba'avur zan nechrov habayish, and because of this, the temple was destroyed. V'galinu me'artzenu, we were exiled from our land, like the Gemara says, imeseches yuma, which I already quoted, and in Talmud Yerushalmi. And then the Chavetz Chaim says, okay, hagam she'gemar nakta sinas chinam. The Gemara uses the term sinas chinam, which means baseless hatred. But the Chavetz Chaim says, Hakavana hu alashon haragamki. That's a quote from the Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim says, even though the Gemara uses the term sinas chinam, baseless hatred, to describe the sins that destroyed the second temple, the truth is, the reality is, the intention of the Gemara is alashon haragamki, over lashon hara as well. So yotzeitz mitzad tzina. Why? Because lashon hara comes from hatred. Di lav hachi lo hayu ne'enashim kolkach. Because if not for the sin of lashon hara, which stems from hatred, we would not have been so severely punished. The Hainu, like the Gemara says, Lam decha shakasha sin is chinim kenegar avod desar v'gili arayis v'shvichas damim v'zem etzinu barach and gabay lashon hara. He says, the Gemara there says, in Yuma Tas Amud Beis, that sinas chinam is equal to the three cardinal sins. And the Gemara tells us in Erechin that Lashon Hara is equal to the three cardinal sins. The Gemara in Yuma, when it describes the discussion of the temples, tells us that Lashon Hara, sinas chinam, baseless hatred, is equal to the three cardinal sins. The Gemara in Erechin Tazvav tells us that Lashon Hara is equal to the three cardinal sins. Or, says the Chavetz Chaim, the Gemara here tells me that baseless hatred is equal to the three cardinal sins. And the Gemara here tells me that slanderous speech is equal to the three cardinal sins. Now what can I deduce from here? That sin is chinam and Lashon Hara are one and the same. And the Gemara says that sin is chinam is equal to three cardinal sins. What it is telling you is that Lashon Hara destroyed the second base of Mikdash. That's a quote from the Sefer Chavetz Chaim, the Hakdama of the Chavetz Chaim. Umei azva ad ata. And from then until now, every day we are hoping and davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He should bring us close to Him again, like He promised us in the Torah. Ve'ein miskabalas tefilaseinu lefanav. Our tefilos have not been accepted before Him. Like the Pasuk says, like the Chazal say in Maseches Brachos, from the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, an iron partition separates Israel from their Father in heaven. But the truth is, our complaint, Chas V'Shalom, is not against the Kosh Baruch Hu, ki im al atzmenu. Our complaint is against us. Ki asiba ki im mitzadenu, v'ein asiba ki mitzadenu. The reason for this prolonged exile is from our side. Shabavanosenu harabim, because of our great sins, ein anu manichim lo shayashu shchinasa besochen. Because of our great sins, we do not allow Kosh Baruch Hu kaviyacha to dwell with His presence amongst us. So the Chavetz Chaim says very clearly that when the Gemara in Yuma Tas Amud Beis says that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of sin is chinam, it is alluding to the sin of Lashon Hara. So we began in Pinchas. We went to Korach and we ended in Parsha Shemos. We have a kasha. In Pinchas it says very clearly, the Dasan Revirim died, but Tiftach Ha'aretz as Piha Vativla Osam. So then I had a kasha that I never had before. Why weren't they killed in the fire with the 250 men? Now Korach go down on the earth, he's the one who's starting the Mechalokas, and they should die in the fire of the 250 men. We went to Parshas Korach, and we looked at the punishment itself, which is 38 and a half years before Parshas Pinchas. And we see the same exact lashon Vativta Ha'aretz as Piha Vativla Osam. It doesn't say the ground opened. It specifically says the ground opened her mouth and swallow them. So why was he punished in such a, why were they punished in such a fashion? To answer that question, we have to go back to the beginning of Parshas Shmos, Perek Beis, when Moshe goes up. The first day he goes out and he sees an Egyptian hearing Hebrew, he kills the Egyptian, he hides him in the ground. The second day he sees two Hebrews fighting. Who are they? Dasan and Aviram. Lama sakare echa. Why are you fighting? You are Rishayim. Don't even hit your hand. They say, oh, who made you a man, an officer, a judge of us? Are you going to kill us with your speech like you killed the Egyptian? Moshe says, Vayira ma'od. He's afraid. And he says, Achein noda hadavar. The matter is known. What matter is known? Why Israel is deserving of avodas perach from all the 70 nations. He doesn't say why Israel is deserving of galus. Perach. What is perach? Perach, a soft mouth. And Israel has a soft mouth. It's Dasan and Aviram who were malshinin olav. They used their kol hadibur to tell upon him to Paro. Paro wanted to kill him. They were informers. When Israel has a perach, a soft mouth, they were deserving of avodas perach, crushing back, breaking labor. The Chavetz Chaim says extremely explicitly in the Hakdama to Sefer Chavetz Chaim that because of the sin of Lashon Hara, the exile not only happened, but it is prolonged. And though we daven to Hashem, he is not listening to us. According to the Gemara in Brachos, it says there's an iron partition between us and him, not because Hashem doesn't want us to feel us, but because of our great sins, we are preventing him, says the Chavetz Chaim, from putting a Shechina amongst us. One last thing I wanted to tell you, I thought that this pasuk also ties in so beautifully. Vayishma Paro Sadavar Hazah, going back to Shavos. Vayishma Paro as Hadavar Hazah. Vayivakesh Agos Moshe, on the level of the Drash. Vayishma Perah. It was heard that there was a bad mouth going amongst Israel. Vayishma, what was heard? Paro is a contraction of two words, para. The matter was heard in the street. What was the word on the street? Para. The Israelites have a bad mouth. As Hadavarza, they are talking about matters they shouldn't be speaking about. Vayivakish, the Harogas Moshe, and it is this slanderous speech that went out to kill Moshe. And not only to kill Moshe, but ultimately to bring destruction. So again, last pasuk, Vayishma Paro Sadavar Zeh Vayivakesh Arugas Moshe, I think sums everything up so beautifully. Why are we in Galus? Vayishma, when the word is heard, Pera, that Klal Yisrael has a bad mouth, as Hadavar Zeh, we're always talking about this matter and that matter, this matter and that matter, Vayivakesh Arugas Moshe, ultimately it is the sin of Lashon Hara that seeks to bring death and ruination and perach and galus upon Klal Yisrael, Rachmana Litzlan. So a lot of food for thought. Lashon Hara leads to galus. Galus leads to avodas perach. Sinas chinim is absolutely equated with Lashon Hara. The Chavetz Chaim explicitly says when the Gemara says sinas chinim, what they really mean is Lashon Hara. And the Chavetz Chaim says, because of our sins in prolonging this exile, the iron partition is still up, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not hear our tefillos. You could say that if we use our mouths to speak Lashon Hara, then Hashem will not accept the tefillos of the mouth. We can only daven to continue to have the tremendous siyata, the shmai, and sensitivity from our learning, like that person who reached out to me. She thought she noticed Lashon Hara in a children's book. Then she thought she was going crazy. And then Taka, she found out that she really didn't notice Lashon Hara in a children's book. We should continue to be very, very sensitive with our speech. We should not have a perach. We should have a firm mouth, not to be firm and harsh with other people, but firm to solidify our thoughts, to harshly, sometimes it's hard to hold back. We have to put up the gates, close our mouths, and then Be'ezot Hashem, perhaps we will be zocha to reverse this terrible process of galus and ultimately be redeemed. So the shir should be Azchus Aliyah Neshama and Zechira Latova, Ritzvi Gershon Ben Yoel Vechana Lav Hashem, and Zev Wolf Ben Yishaya Leim Hashem. Everybody be Surah Stovus, and we should just be zocha to rob Siyata Deshmaya and this tremendous Avodas HaKodesh. Thank you so much, everybody. Kol Tov. Thank you.